Welcome back to the Crooked Spine Show. Have you ever been scammed before and seriously been affected by it, both financially or emotionally? I also have a loathing for people that scam seniors. My talk today is with seniors about being scammed, and number one way to avoid that is the first thing we talk about, along with, is our cell phone actually safer to not get scammed? Along, does our government protect us from scams? And if they do, how? Also, too, as a senior living alone, how to prevent and protect yourself from being scammed from your bank account and your credit score, along with the current IRS scam in 2019, along with my personal experience of being scammed or they tried to scam me for one, too. And also, too, does if you buy in person, purchase something in person or online, is it safer or not? All right, so I hope this talk helps you understand how to protect yourself from scams and current ones out there, and make sure we protect our seniors from scams too, right? Just go right to talk, listen in, and I'll talk to you afterwards.
We've been talking a little bit as we started this whole talk today about scams. Why do people want to scam other people?
For money.
For money. Okay, it doesn't matter your information, your social security number, your birthday, your credit card information, maybe your own account numbers also. How do we protect ourselves from getting scammed? What do we do?
Hang on.
Yes. I was listening to on AARP and also Medicare this morning, kind of more research of what information is out there about scams and how to avoid them. A lot of it is don't answer the phone. If you answer the phone, thank you, here's my agent, call my agent, have my agent call me. Boom, that's it. The more you communicate, interact with the phone caller, the more chance of you giving up information to give them an opportunity to take your information and sell it or get money from it directly. Even answering the word yes on a phone conversation, they'll record that and use that yes recording to go and authorize a credit card under your name. And again, we can always fight it afterwards, right? But the effort and the time involved in fighting a false account, getting your account stolen, even just your bank account stolen, to even now in 2019, to get your bank account money back from a stolen account or a fraud withdrawal from your checking account or savings account, sometimes takes 30 days. And if you're living paycheck to paycheck, depending on that money to pay your own bills, that's it. That's stressful. How do you avoid stress? You have mentioned, sir? Hang up the phone. Number one thing. What's a scam that people involved in? I'll tell you my story first, and Lori can tell you next too. My grandma, when she was alive, she called me one time, and just a couple times she tried to scam her, called me and Tony, are you okay? I'm like, I think I'm okay. I'm not bleeding or anything, I'm okay. and she'll call on a Tuesday after our phone calls, Tuesday 11 o'clock on Tuesday. And I said, well, why? What's going on? Well, someone called me and said you were in jail, you might to bail you out of jail. I'm like, not this time. Might have been previously, but not today. Or else, how are you? So a lot of it is, how do we avoid those things? And I told my grandma, the problem is, I think, is when you have a landline, you live on your own, they can find out that you're on your own, you're a senior, and you have your own phone line, there's a way to connect contact you. It's a very common scam where they call you, one of your grandkids are in jail, and you might bail them out right away. They had an accident, they need money to pay for the deductible right away at the emergency room so you can do surgery for them. It's very wrong, we know morally, but that's their way to get money out of your pocket. Because once you wire the money, give them your credit card number, they can do whatever they want to get. Once that money's in their account, they pull out of that account, it's gone. Like you mentioned, don't pick up the phone. Or hey, call my advocate here, call my son, call my daughter, call my agent, let them call me directly if you have a problem. When you have a landline, even a phone now too, phones are even worse. If you have a cell phone, you think they're more private, right? No. My partner at the office, he gets a phone call from timeshare at least a couple times a week, bothering about something. Even your cell phone isn't safe from telemarketers who are trying to get from your information. So realize by having a simple life, no email, no computer access, and sometimes a minimal cell phone, and maybe no landline or landline that you don't use very often makes you less susceptible to getting scammed. So I am jealous of all of you because I have all those things all the time. Okay, so a lot of it is, can you minimize what you're using and make sure if you have questions, you actually ask the question to somebody else, not the caller itself. Who else has possibly been scammed before? You mentioned, Gloria, what was your story?
Yeah, the AMR called me.
Okay. About the ambulance ride, right?
Yeah, I've been running over 15 years.
And how did you verify that it was an AMR?
I asked, who is this? And yeah. They told me they were AMR, which they might not be in.
Yeah.
But just when they told me that, I said, okay, you know what? I have not been an ambulance for 15 years. And I don't, you know, they just started with, what's this about? Well, first of all, ma'am, we need your social security birthday.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
If you have information, why don't you have that already?
Yeah, you know what's another thing I think when the elderly fall for is because, or anybody, because you're such in a state of worry, anyway, anxiety, your granddaughter in the hospital, what are you just doing? What are you going to do?
Exactly.
You're not going to fight, it's, oh my God. And the first thing you do is go and give that information without even thinking until later.
Once you get into emotional state,
yeah,
of excitement, of anxiety, of fear,
that's
how you know they got it. So if you can read that and go, okay, why am I in this state now? I'm in this emotional state. Let me get out of the state first and ask good questions. Have a list of questions. Okay, who is this? Can I call you back? Can I verify your information? Can I have my agent call you back?
And what hospital asks for money for the surgery? They'll give you surgery, and then if you don't have insurance, they'll get a social worker to come and get you Medi-Cal.
It's like a Mercy Oath or something like that. It's enough to where they have to do something. They have to take care of you first and then worry about the cost later. You know, so people realize, it happens to everyone too, not just senior, everybody. If they get a phone call and they get in an emotional state, and they realize you're emotional now, and they know they got you, they have a chance at you. When you go, hold on a second, let me verify your information, see what's going on, and then they can go back and go, okay, let me call you right back, we can't call us back, then there's a problem.
Bottom line is they're great connivers.
Mm-hmm. They're professionally trained on it.
Right.
If they get 2%, to actually give them money, they're making money.
Good
Lord. It's amazing. How does the government fight this? How does the government protect us from this?
Apparently they can't because nothing's being done. It's still big going on and on.
It's a trade-off, right? Do we want a free market? So we're a free market meaning society. We can communicate with anyone we want to communicate with, have free access to the internet, free access on our phones, but have restrictions also. In other countries, it doesn't happen. In third world countries or not socialist countries, but countries where things are very regulated, internet access and even phone access to where it's all kind of controlled and monitored, it doesn't happen. Because that government will go back and trace that call back to the person and go do something to that person.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they need here.
But that's a trade-off. Do we want to give up our privacy?
No. Yeah. Then you're bucking the amendments.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
We want to give up our privacy. To have government restrict who can call us, what can be called, how often you can call for one, too.
Right.
That's a trade-off. Everyone's different with that. I'm not pre or for or against, but that's why us as Americans, we're more susceptible to these type of schemes. How about who uses email? Anyone use email? Okay, if you did, and again, if you don't, congratulations, you just avoided a scam. Where a relative may email you saying, I'm a relative with the same last name in a foreign country. If you give me this amount, I'll be able to wire you $100,000 more than that. It's an old scam that still works. People still fall for it.
Wow.
Why do Americans get scammed the most?
Because they're always looking for that. They want all the money.
Because we have, in other people's sense, the money to pay for these scams. Talk about the free market, the free access to contact us all the time. You know, so it's not someone asking you directly, person to person, hey, can I borrow $100? It's the phone, it's your email, it's the internet. It's even a piece of mail too, right? Who has gotten mail and said, hey, look, this bill is overdue, we're gonna charge this much interest, this much extra cost if you pay now and call us directly with your debit card or your checking account, we'll pay it off so it saves you 50% on the overall cost of it. I'm like, that's a great deal. Whew. Problem is the bill's not even a real bill. But if 2% pay that bill, they're making money. Even the paper on top of that too. So it's making sure we verify the information first, always. And if you have an emotional response to that phone call or piece of mail, or whatever it might be, we go, we take a step back and okay, what's going on here? All right, any questions at all? All right. And who lives on their own here? Anybody?
This way.
Who lives on their own? So if you live on your own, what happens is sometimes, and maybe not even here, but somewhere else, somebody come to your house and go, look, I see you have some work doing your house. If you pay me cash, I'll get the supplies and give you a discount on that. But we laugh, right? We laugh.
But
if it didn't work, people wouldn't do that scam.
It's hard because they gave such an outrageous total for it.
Discount for it, right?
But like they always say, if it sounds too good to be true, it's not good.
So have a friend, a relative, an advocate for you, you can bounce the idea of, hey, does this sound real to you or does it sound fake? I had my father-in-law, he went on eBay, which is an online site to go buy stuff for bargains, whatever it is too, and found he likes old Volkswagen buses. Okay, likes the Volkswagen bus, the look of everything. My stepson has one of them too. And he had found one, I think, in China or Europe, where it was like a bargain, a steal, right? And they said, well, you have to pay the shipping cost to ship it over from China, I think it was, to the US, which is about $2,000. He had pictures of it, everything. He had an account number done. They had done, they made it look perfect. Where are the money? And all of a sudden, no more contact. Done. But he had done his research. Checked the government, everything, they'd done everything, and still they caught him.
Wow.
So again, too good to be true? How do I prove it? I can't, I'm not gonna worry about it. It happens all the time, scams, especially with cars too. I have this great car in another state. You just pay for the shipping cost and I'll ship it to you for this great bargain of a car. This classic something.
Probably don't even have no wheels.
But it's a great picture.
Yeah,
and they've done a great job answering all the questions beforehand, Carlos, to where they've done a good job really selling you on that's a great car, but all of a sudden, there's nothing shows up. And they change, they stop the ad, and they start looking somewhere else. They go and go and go. Okay? So realize, as we all know common sense-wise, if it doesn't feel right, it doesn't feel right. You know, that's what it's very, very simple. If it doesn't feel right to me, how about my daughter, my son, my friend that I trust, that I like, that would he do the same thing? Have them call and check. Enough people call and check, it doesn't seem right, they're going to start hanging up on you because they think, okay, what's going on? They don't want the headache. They'll find someone else who might be an easier person to scam. It happens everywhere. Grocery stores, wherever you use your car, your debit card, your checking account card, even writing a check sometimes too, you have to be careful. For me, what I do, in my own personal sense, I have a checking account that I use for my purchases every day. I keep that amount to a minimum. Keep most of my money in another account, that's harder to get to because I don't use that account, I don't have a card for it. Keep that separate, I keep that just on my, not in my phone, just my computer, right? I change the code maybe every couple months or so. My password. Who likes having passwords for your accounts? I don't. It's painful. Problem is, I change the password, forget to write it down. So now I can't get my own accounts. Or you try to change to a password you used before because you remember in your head. And they don't like because you just use that account, that a password, they'll use that account. I'm like, gosh dang it. Make something else up. I forget what I made it up to. I have to go to the bank, whatever it is, go, okay guys, you know me. I don't know anything. So how do I start over again and figure out to put a good password for me? And they want like numbers, they want a capital letter, they want a symbol like an apostrophe or an exclamation point, so make it so complicated you can create your own password. So how to keep things as simple as possible? What can we do, a simple list, how to keep ourselves from getting scammed from not wanting to give our information out? Number one thing we talked about is if someone calls you for an update, your information, your social security number, your account number, your address even too, or your birthday even, at that point, hang up the phone. If you hang up once or twice, they're not going to call back. They're going to find someone easier who will to talk to them.
Well, then people keep calling back and I don't answer. It's been 2 months and every day they come, it's 2-3 times a day.
The AMR people?
Uh-huh.
How do you get them to stop?
I just figure don't answer. They keep calling until you answer.
Why do people want to answer, at least figure out what's going on? Why?
What's that?
Why would people want to find out what's going on? Because I worry about it. If it was me getting a phone call from the same company over and over again, I want to go, I'll make sure they want to mess up my credit. Because I want to see a paper bill, send me a paper bill with the account information on there. At that point, it'll actually allow me to look at the account overall to see if it's a real account or is it the right information. Somebody have used your name, Gloria,
yeah.
Use your full name, and build it on your name instead of their own name.
Hello, my phone number.
Exactly.
Wow.
So I would find, send me a paper bill, and figure this out with my accountant, and see if this is a real thing. It's not me. How do I prove that? You talk to your supervisor. Because if they get the, if it's a real bill, but not your name or phone number, I would want to go, okay, how do I figure this thing out so it makes it a real thing? But I want to see a paper bill. So I want to make sure it's a real thing. Because I worry about if I don't pay my bills, what happens is they send me to collections. I meet up at my door looking at my door going, hey, are you in there or not? I don't want that. But I want to make sure a paper bill's in my hand so it gives me some legitimacy, some realness to it. At that point, I'm going to go, okay, how do I contact them? Because I have my own personal medical stuff. I've had about 10 bills to go through. I want to make sure they're all real. So I want 2-3 contacts with them to make sure what is going on and how to give them information. And so you have to react, I think, somewhat, but you want to make sure it's a real thing versus just kind of blowing it off sometimes. In just my own personal sense. Look at both sides of the story. If we're going to hang up the phone and not contact them, how do I contact someone that I can talk to about, say it's Medicare calling ARP? Or his car company, how do I go on, or ask them to go online for me, how do I get their contact information? Is this a real thing or not? If you have access to the internet, something the internet does a good job blowing out all these fraudulent type of companies. So I would write down the company's name, okay, get their information, where you're located, okay, good. Let me check with my friend, family member, my advocate. At that point, let me call you back. If you can't call us back, then you hang up the phone automatically. If they don't need the contact information to call them back, hang the phone, because that's going to be 90% of the time a scam.
They won't get their information.
Have you heard about the IRS scam?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yes.
A lot of people have been talking about that here.
What is the scam? What have you guys heard about the IRS scam?
Won't you say something about the IRS? Something one of the residents talked to me about, that they got a phone call from the IRS.
The IRS will never call you. When I say, I don't like to use never always, but they will never call you. They will send you a letter, and send you a letter, and send you a letter.
Right?
You can't get a call from them.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to...
You can't get a call from them.
Let's say you use a false name.
That's what we're talking about.
And they'll call you. And when they call you, if they should never call you, but if it's a phone call from them, ask them for their ID number. And they're going to freeze because they should be able to give that to you. I've had to call you guys because my business stuff and my personal stuff too, get something mixed up. And I want an ID number, and I want to see a paper statement of what's being owed. Because when you call the IRS, it takes about 4 hours to talk to somebody. It does. I've had to call them, I think, 3 times the last 4 months or so. But realize the IRS will never call you. This is the post-tax season where you owe this amount for your taxes. If you pay us this amount, We'll cut the slate clean, whatever it's called. We'll give you a zero balance if you pay this amount instead. People did like, I don't want the IRS after me. Two things my Uncle George always told me you had to do, the two things that are always going to happen, is death and pay your taxes. Alright? So realize by hanging up the phone someone calls an IRS, you're saving yourself a big headache. The longer you have it in the phone, the longer your chance of getting information, of saying just anything you're saying, to use that against you. Okay, case the IRS, they call you, scam. Call Medicare, call AARP, hey, how do I get this? And what happens if you get too many phone calls? What can you do? Change your number. It's not that hard. If you have a record of having too many question calls or fraudulent calls or scam calls, they'll know how to do it for free. But it's worth not having the headache of someone calling you every day. Because once, if someone's calling you from a scam, you think they sell your phone number to somebody else? It also does scams to somebody else? So if you get enough of those and it's too much of a headache, change your number. It's not fun. You have to call all your friends and family, and I've never changed your number, I'm sorry, but I had scams happen for one too. But it's necessary evil sometimes. It saves a lot of headaches. Hang up the phone, number one. Number two, if someone comes to your house or to your place, a business, and says, I have this to offer, tell them one thing. Let me call my advocate, my son, my daughter, my friend, my spouse, whatever it is too, to talk to you first. And most of them, they'll walk away. You go to my car real quick, and you'll see them drive off. They want the easy scams, not the hard ones. Okay? Anything else? Mail scams too, right? In the mail. Mail scams, you can give your information, your name, your phone number, everything on there. You have to make sure that at that point you don't respond. Because you should, even with AMR too, they should send you a bill, a second, third bill, second bill, then you respond.
Yeah, and then there's collection, then they send you one.
But they have to send it to you twice, I think. Mm-hmm. They have to send you collections. Yep. At least twice. At least 30 days per se. Without that, without something on paper, we'll send it twice, there's no reason to respond. But again, remember, if you have emotional attachment to that phone call, that piece of mail or email, or even just a message from someone talking to you, realize you have to make sure, okay, am I responding emotionally, or do I have to take a step back and going, am I doing this logically? Because once you have the emotional response to a scam, whichever way they're doing it, then they got it. They have a chance at it. Even bank accounts, we've talked before, bank accounts, grocery stores, even at the gas station near where I live, someone used their debit card to pay for their gas. The gas station itself, their third-party collection or collection of the actual gas money, took out $1,000 out of their account. Amazing. To go back and now file a claim and do this, wait 15 days, get that paid back, it's just a headache.
Well, that's why you always ask for your receipt. You always have one receipt.
Yeah.
Because then you keep that.
That's your record. Mm-hmm. But if you don't get bank statements too, because they have those, but even then, if someone goes into a bank and takes money out in your name, it takes sometimes 3 days to get the money back. Even though they know it's not you, they said, well, it didn't clear, so we have to give 30 days to get the money back to the insurance company. It's the less information you give out, the less stuff that you have out there, the more simple your life is to not get scams. You know, I have about probably 7 accounts that I have to have all the time, and every time I try to watch them all, but again, sometimes I slip through the cracks. So keep things one distance away. Whatever card you use, checking account you use too, keeping that amount to a very minimum allows not to lose all of it. All right. This is not a very long topic, but it makes sense to where do you have a plan when you get a phone call, a piece of mail, or someone contact you to where you don't get into it right away. The best we know is like, well, let me wait and see. Let me call you back. Send me a piece of mail that says this is a real thing. Let me call my advocate. Let me call my brother, my sister, my kids. Let me make sure it's a real thing. And if you have kids who have internet access, have them search that company online and see if they're known to give fraudulent things out there. They tried scamming for using someone's picture on the internet. They want to charge $800 for someone's picture. So I do. Sometimes I'm like that. I get hot. I'm like, what the heck happened? So I search online. I said, this company is a fraud company. Do not pay them. And boom, right away, I calmed down. But have access to find out through your advocate, especially if it's Medicare or something like that, even IRS stuff too, contact your agent and go, okay, what can I do about this? Let Gloria know. Keep Gloria busy. How do I check on this, Gloria?
Well,
What do I do? You know, make sure you do the right things. So you want to make sure, because sometimes it might be, once in a blue month, it might be a real thing, but ask for a paper bill. So I'd hate for you to not contact somebody, and all of a sudden, it goes to collections. And you have this going on. A medical bill, like I said, may have been your name, but now it's because it's your name and phone number, send you to collections, which could have avoided some of that. All right. Anything else? Not a very long topic, right?
But importantly.
But exactly. Because why are seniors targets for scams? Why is someone over 65 a target for a scam? Over 60? Because you guys answer the phone. Because you answer the phone. Because you have a landline. And some people live independently. And they know your age based on your how you purchase. They can buy your information from a company that will sell it to them. Of how old you are, where you live, your address, get the phone number from that. You answer the phone.
How can that be legal?
Because we're talking about the free market. We want the freedom, right? Versus restrictions on how often you call someone, who can call, what way you can call for one too. Even your mail too. You open the mail more than I do. I check my mail once a week. Everything I get, I have to open and actually pay. For me, it's now auto pay or online.
That's us. The mailbox is across the street.
Yeah.
And then the cul-de-sac, so everybody's box. Mm-hmm. The poor mailman probably damns us. Right. We go out there like once in every one half week. We expect that.
Like, thank you. Right?
Yeah.
We're cleaning it out. It's like popping out of the mailbox. He just stuffs it in there. All the envelopes are crunched because he just keeps stuffing stuff in there.
Everybody comes home between 5 and 6:30, so nobody's thinking about mail. We're thinking about dinner and going to lay down.
No, because what's most of your mail? What's your mail mostly?
Junk.
Mm-hmm.
Junk mail.
Junk mail?
Mm-hmm.
My grandma, she waited for the mailman to drop the mail at her house every day. She would wait, she would look out the window. Tony, it's 11:30, he's not here yet. Grandma, he's there by 11:15, he'll be about 10 minutes late. Because it's things you look forward to. Some people do. So at that point, they target you because of that. You open your mail, you answer your phone. How dare you? So how do we control that? You can't. But make sure you're aware of these scams and make sure you take the information back. Call them back if you need to. That when we check with my advocate, call me, like my grandma did. Is this a scam? Yes. Don't answer the phone. Don't call them back. All right. Again, it's not a very good talk, not a very long topic, but because some people get scammed, because we're susceptible for it, make sure you're prepared to answer that phone call or hang up once that information is a scam and call someone else. Write the information down. I always do. What's your information? You get your name. You get the number and call you back. I don't have a number call you back. Click. They call you back. Good. We call them back and make sure. So you want to make sure you're doing the right things for you and your family. Because once the money's out of your account, out of the credit card, it's a lot harder to get back. All right, anything else?
You know, I don't understand why people buy anything over the phone anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, many years ago I told a salesman who came to the door, I never buy anything from salesman at my door.
Yeah.
And don't go back to your office and call me, because it won't do you any good.
Yeah.
I'll do the same thing. I'm not buying that way.
Well, because
I want something, I go to a store and look at it.
And because everyone,
I get to buy it. Not, that's it.
But everyone's different though. Some people may want that way, but I would tell them, hey, take me off your list. At that point, I don't want people coming to my house anymore.
I buy things by catalog.
Yeah, because you.
Because it's a standard company.
Because you see it, you trust them, the trust is there, correct?
JCPenney, Sear.
All those. But some people realize even before that, it took them a long time to buy from catalogs a while back, right? They wanted touch, they wanted to feel, they wanted to talk to someone about it first. The people now, they'll buy a car online just by seeing it.
Oh my God, you can buy, is that commercial Carvana?
Carvana, yeah.
You can actually buy a car now, like a vending machine, mm-hmm. And they bring it to you.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Amazon has taken years and years and about a decade to build a reputation of being trusted though. It hasn't had to happen overnight. It took them years and about a decade to gain that trust of public where you could buy online from the company. But realize there's companies that buy, that sell through Amazon, Amazon charges them a fee because they gain their reputation automatically. Because Amazon has free returns and will give you even the cost of shipping back. You can go to Kohl's and return your stuff right there. And Kohl's gave you 20% discount on the clothes to buy there because you're in your store. You can actually make money on returns if you want to spend the time and energy. But everyone buys differently though. Some people have, you have to gain that trust. What makes you have that trust? Even like I get my all my bills are paperless now. I don't get bills in the mail anymore. I get bills on my phone or on my computer. My statements, my emails. But it took a long time to gain that trust where that was possible. Yeah. I would go paperless, they call it. My grandma, go back to grandma too, they want to start charging her for her account statement every month from the bank, from Chase.
Oh, Chase is wrong.
Because Chase wanted to, I would want everything paperless, but the senior who doesn't have, they don't know her, she's 19 years old, they don't know she doesn't have a computer, she doesn't have access to the internet in her house. So my mom had to take her to the bank and go, can you please stop? He's like, yes, we apologize. The same to everyone gets the same email. Or the same thing. So her thing is, as we change generations, I want to call it that, sometimes people want the other way. So give them that way. Make it to where, hey, look, I'm not coming to your house. If you want to go to the store over here. And how do you gain trust? By communicating with the way they want to communicate, wherever it is. Maybe a phone call, maybe a handshake, maybe look them in their eyes. Physical contact is always a classic way to do it. But some people that are more internet-based, they already have that trust, they've learned that way. So that one, that's all they do is buy that way. Then to go to a store, it's like, why do I waste my time? I already know I want this. I bought from them before, and it worked out well, this internet company, I'm going to buy from them again. Carvana may not be popular now, where you can buy a car online, but give it 5 years. Maybe the only way someone buys it. Once you buy a car once from that company, and you have that trust or that person, now they have that trust with you, you're gonna buy them again.
I don't understand that because when you go buy a car, used car, you wanna look under the hood. Mm-hmm. You wanna see the mileage, you wanna see the, you know, everything.
And again, if they come back to that, it's like, well, if you don't like it, you have a 30-day return policy. Or under certain miles too. You know, even rental cars do that too. Rental cars are selling the rental cars now where you have a 3-day trial period. If you like it, then buy it. If you don't like it, then you're touching your feeling, you're doing it.
Most places 7 days, you can bring your car back.
Exactly. But that's the thing is, if you, whatever way you like, and this is good one beyond the scam, whatever you like to buy, let them come to you that way. Don't let them dictate what they want from you, how they want to meet with you. Let them do what you want to do. Again, free market. Someone that sells the way you want to be sold to or buy the way you want to buy, let them work with you versus someone that doesn't. Just tell them, hey, I don't work this way. Some people, for me, want to communicate by email, by text message. Some people like the phone call, like the boot, hand in hand. When you go talk to you, great, either way. I'll call you, I'll email you, I'll text, whatever you want to do. But whatever works for them is the best way. It's not for me to say, you should communicate my way. That's called arrogance or pride. Work with who you want to work with, and that's it. It's called a free market, so there's not people working the way you want to work with them. I don't know. Anything else for this exciting topic today? But again, we always have to buy stuff, right? We always have to have some type of trust, but who can you trust to help you avoid a scam, or do something that might be legitimate. Or tell someone, hey, look, please don't come to my house. Take me off your list. I don't like people come to my house and don't call me. And they go, if they didn't say, well, that's not how we work, then let me call the cops for you. And they'll walk away. That's the thing. You have to make sure it's about you, right? Be selfish when it talks about your privacy and your personal information. Be very, very selfish. Anything else? Enjoy your lunch, enjoy your month.
I'm here.
I'll see you guys in August. Hopefully no more earthquakes, right?
hard to avoid scams. But when we know the right way to react to a scam, at that point we protect ourselves, our personal record, our credit score, and our bank account, and our emotional response to scams. So when we use common sense, it seems too good to be true. It probably is. If you're unsure, call a relative, a family member, or someone you can trust to give you good advice if you're being scammed or not. And also, too, get their information so you can call them back. And if it's something where they want to get money from you, may it be a medical condition, whatever it might be, have them send something in the mail so you actually get something in writing. All right, so protect yourself, my friends. At that point, enjoy the week, and we'll see you next week.